If you want to turn over with me to Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Last week we looked at Paul's magnificent vision of knowing Christ. Paul made knowing Christ the most important thing in his life because nothing can compare to that knowing Christ. And it's possible some of us may have thought that Paul had really made it in the Christian life. When we look at his life and who he was and, you know, we could have thought, oh, Paul has made it. But I think now he begins to clarify and clear up that misunderstanding, but he hasn't made it. Nobody's made it. But this truth, rather than discouraging him in his Christian life, I think it motivated him to press on towards that goal for his life. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you that we can come together, we can come and learn and grow together, that we can be convicted, we can be encouraged, we can be blessed, we can be pushed. And I just pray this morning that each and every one of us gets challenged, each and every one of us gets convicted, including myself, Lord. There's only one thing that matters, and it's what we do for eternity is what matters. We just pray that we'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me this morning and that we will grow in your grace and knowledge, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever run a race before? I'm going to admit I don't run. I won't run. Unless somebody's chasing me, I'm not going to run. Just not my thing. Chad runs like 8 miles a day. It's your thing. But running a good race requires focus, physical exertion, perseverance. Running a race means you're in it for the long haul. From start to finish, you lay all distractions aside and you remain focused on that one thing. Moving forward and finishing that race. You don't look back. You don't turn around. And most importantly, you don't quit. And today, the Bible compares the Christian life to a race. There's a lot of different races, and I don't believe the Christian life is a 100-yard dash. Sometimes I wish it was, but I don't think it is. I started researching the longest triathlon. To me, that's the longest thing that, you know, in the Christian life is, to me, a triathlon. In 1998, Australian David Halloran completed a triathlon consisting of 26-mile swim, 1,242-mile bike ride, and a 310-mile run. Now that's what I compare the Christian life to. You know, sometimes it's hard. Maybe sometimes you get on that bike and you're going downhill and you're feeling good and you're like, oh, I can do this. Then the next day you wake up depressed and you're ready to, you're swimming that 26-mile run again. It's a daily challenge. The Christian life is a daily challenge which requires focus, effort, perseverance to overcome the different obstacles in your way. The minute that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't get easy. Oh, all my sins are behind me and now I'm good to go. It's not the way it works. If anything, the minute you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it begins to get harder, most likely. And Paul shares that forward focus with us in today's passage. Paul's focus is on what lies ahead than rather what's behind. We've got to keep that forward focus. We've got to keep that perseverance, keep growing in Christ. We have to press on towards that goal. And throughout these verses, there's a couple of ways that I think we can all do that. First point this morning is make God's goals your own. Make God's goals your own. Look at verse 12. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. If you're going to press on towards the goal that God has for you, we first have to make God's goals our own. And it begins with being honest about where our Christian walk is. The Apostle Paul is saying here that he's not perfect. He didn't say, oh, I'm perfect. I've figured it out. I know the life. You know, follow me. We each and all have to be honest where we're at in our Christian walk. Paul does not claim that he's perfect. He doesn't claim that he's made it, that he's already arrived. He realizes he's still on the journey and that he has a long ways to go. He shares that honesty with the Philippians. And I think many times in the Christian life today, we hide things from each other, or we show up on Sunday morning. You know, I feel like I'm the only one struggling. I show up on Sunday morning and I'm here struggling and everybody else has it perfect. I can remember back when Sonny and I were getting out of debt and living the Dave Ramsey plan to a T. Everybody else has it made. Look, they got cars and boats and they go shopping and they go out to eat and we sit at home all the time. They're debt-free and they can live the life. Just because somebody doesn't tell you what they're going through doesn't mean it's not true. All of her friends, she found out later on, were in debt. And it's very easy to keep up with the Joneses or make yourself look like this perfect Christian. And we show up on Sunday morning with a smile on our face. And I think the first thing we have to do is be honest with ourselves. No one has arrived yet. There's no perfect people with us this morning. Not even I. I haven't arrived yet. The Apostle Paul says in that verse 12, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So be honest with yourself where you're at. Maybe you're a new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this is your first, you know, whatever it is. Maybe you've been a Christian for many, many years and you fell off. Nobody's perfect, but it's time to get up and look at these goals again. Secondly, we need to align our goals with God's goal for your life. That's what he says here in the second half of verse 12. I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Jesus grabbed a hold of the Apostle Paul. He was walking on the road to Damascus and he had to literally blind him to get his attention. He grabbed hold of him. Look at Ephesians 2:10. He grabbed hold of his life because he had a purpose for the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a purpose for your life. If you're here today, he has a purpose. You know, and many people take their own life because they feel like they don't have a purpose. They feel like they're not needed. They feel like they're not here for any reason. But the Word of God says that each and every one of us has a purpose. And if you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he really has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for your life. We can walk close with God and he will lead you where you're supposed to go. That's the first step in pressing on towards the goal God has for you. Make God's goals your own. Be honest about where you are and align your goals with God's goals. Find that purpose. He goes on in verse 13 and 14 there in Philippians. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have to keep a forward focused at all times. You can't run very well looking backwards. You've got to be looking forward. You can't drive very well if you're looking in the rearview mirror. We have to look forward. If we're going to press on towards the goal that God has for us, we have to keep our focus on him. We have to get rid of all distractions. If you see in Philippians 3:13 there, he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. I'm sure the Apostle Paul had many things going on in his life. just like all of us. But the one thing he did, he got rid of all distractions and kept his focus on Christ. How many hats do you wear on a typical day, in a typical week, in a typical life? We all have different things, get pulled in a lot of different directions. It's hard to keep our focus when there's so many things going on. We have family, we have jobs, we have life. Now, much of what we do is good and necessary. We all have to go to work. We all have to pay our bills. We all have to continue to do those things. But there are many things in our lives that we know are just distractions. And you have to decide in your own life what those are. What is not necessary? What are harmful to us or to others? We've got to get rid of the distractions. We need to do all things to God's glory so that we have one overriding goal in life. And it keeps us on track. That's what the Apostle Paul says. One thing I do. One thing I do. I am a very goal-oriented person. I get up every morning. It keeps my purpose, keeps me alive, keeps my drive going. You know, and I get up and I read and I pray and I do affirmations. And I write three things I'm down that I'm thankful for every single morning. But over the last 2 weeks, as I began to dig into Philippians chapter 3, you can really see that it's what are we doing for the Lord? And I write a lot of affirmations. Why am I so giving? Why am I so kind? Why am I so loving? Why am I such a good father? Why am I such a good husband? And over the last 2 weeks, I began to write, why do I share the gospel daily? When we can begin to focus on what we're going to try to obtain, opportunities will arise. When we begin to focus on the Word of God and change our life to fulfill the Word of God, we can find opportunities. The opportunities have always been there, but we're too tied up in other things. Opportunities have always been there, but we don't have time for them. But when you begin to focus on that one thing, it begins to bring it to the top. He also goes on to say, forget what is behind, strain towards what is ahead. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. When you are in a race, the last thing you want to do is look back. I never knew this, but I was reading again as I was studying this week. There's a sculpture commemorating the race between John Landy and Roger Bannister during the 1954 British Games in Vancouver. This was known as the Miracle Mile. It's the first race in history to feature two runners who had both run the mile in under 4 minutes. Landy held the world record, and he was actually winning this race when he made one critical mistake. He looked back over his shoulder to check on Bannister's position. And as he looked over his shoulder on the left, Bannister surged past him on the right to win the race by 0.8 seconds. There's a sculpture, there's a statue that was sculpted from a photograph taken of that fateful moment. After the sculpture was made, Landy quipped, "While Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt for looking back, I am probably the only one ever turned into bronze for looking back." How many times do we look back? We get here, we get to where we think we need to be, but we're always looking back. And there can be multiple reasons of why we look back. Some people look back at all their past successes, all their achievements, all their accomplishments. Look what I used to be able to do. Look at what I can do. Look what I accomplished. Look, you know, even if it is good for the Lord, I led 100 people to the Lord last year. Well, that's past, that's over. How many people are you leading to the Lord now? Churches can be good at this. We sit around talking about the good old days instead of focusing on what God has for us now. You know, 100 years ago, it was easy. Life was easy. They had it made. How about we focus on the now? If God has used you in the past, that's great, but realize that God still has work for you to do. If you're breathing, if you're alive, He has something for you to do today. Another thing I think we do is the opposite problem. Instead of looking at their past successes, we focus on our failures. And I believe that's Satan causing that to us. You're not good enough to share the gospel. You messed up last night. You can't do that. You can't go to church this Sunday because you're a failure. You're a sinner. Before I was a pastor, I can remember every single Sunday sitting in church And whatever it was, being convicted or allowing Satan to take over my life and just say, Sonny hated coming to church with me on Sunday morning because I didn't feel like I was doing enough for the Lord. I'm supposed to be preaching somewhere. I'm supposed to be sharing somewhere. I'm supposed to be, and every Sunday I would go home miserable. But that was Satan taking the joy from me. Yeah, it challenges you. But there's times in life when you're not ready to present. Maybe I wasn't ready to be a pastor yet. Maybe I wasn't ready to share the gospel yet. Whatever it is, but now challenge yourself to move past that. These are the goals. But so many times we look at our past and we look at the failures. We look at our screw-ups. We look at our mess-ups. And we say, well, I can't do that for the Lord because I'm a failure. And if we keep looking backwards, we'll never go forwards. As Christians, we need to forget what is behind. We need to strain towards what is ahead. That word strain means to exert yourself to the uttermost. There is effort involved in the Christian life. You are saved by grace, but that does not mean there is no work for you to do. That's what we read in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. If you're going to keep a forward focus in life, you need to get rid of all distractions. You need to forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. And he continues on and says, press on towards the goal to win the prize. You need to press on towards that goal to win that prize. Verse 14, it says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This verse is all about perseverance, purposeful living. What good is it if you run a great race if you drop out before the finish line? You say, I've had it. I'm done. I quit. And I think the Apostle Paul is challenging us. There's days that we don't enjoy the Christian life. There's days that we don't understand what happens. We get upset with God. You need to persevere. You need to have purpose. You need to keep your eyes on the goal. That's why I think writing things down each and every morning, when you write it down, it brings you back into focus. When you're in the Word, it brings you back into focus. Don't live your life for earthly things. We all have a higher calling. You have a higher calling. We need to continue to progress in Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the goal. Focus on the finish line. Remember what the race is all about. Keep your eyes on the prize. You know, as you think about it, as you get closer and closer to a finish line, you don't slow down. You run faster. You can see the end in sight. The more the Lord is calling you, you speed up because the end in sight. So what is the goal that I'm to press towards? In Philippians 3:12, my goal is to be all Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. And that includes experiencing the resurrection of the dead, receiving my glorified body. What is the prize God has called me to? We talked about this a little bit last week, but that prize is Jesus Christ himself. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption, and you will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. You'll meet him in heaven. You already have the prize, we just don't see it yet. The prize is already there in front of you and saying, hey, here it is. It's not something we gain, it's not something we earn, it's not something we can work for. Our prize is glorious. Our prize in verse 3:8, it says to know Christ. And what a priceless gift. Philippians 3:8 also says to have Christ. To become one with Christ. To experience Christ's mighty power. And then what does it look like to press on? There's days we don't want to get up in the morning. There's days that we're depressed. There's days that it doesn't go our way. We don't understand it. But pressing on requires discipline, diligence, and determination. And it's a lifelong process of following Christ in trust and obedience. We got to get our priorities straight. We must trust in Christ's ability to save and not our own ability. We must not dwell on past failures or successes that would keep us from moving forward. He continues on in verse 15 and 16. He says, "Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Don't lose ground in your walk with Christ. Mature believers will share the same attitude that Paul has been promoting. You know, there's a play on words here because the word Paul uses for mature here is the same word he used for perfect earlier on. He used, well, some other versions in verse 15, "Let us therefore as many as be mature." He uses the word perfect here. You know, if you ever hear somebody play an instrument, there's a guy that he was talking to a drummer friend the week after a concert he had performed. And the guy asked him, "Did you record it?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Did you listen to it?" He said, "Yes." He asked, "Were you happy with it?" He said, "Yes." Then you'll never get any better. When we become to get complacent in our life and our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we think we've made it, and I think that's what the Apostle Paul's talking about, we've never really, our sanctification is an ongoing walk each and every day. Mature believers know that we aren't perfect, but they also know that we're making progress in Christian growth. John Newton once said, "I am not what I should be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I will be, but praise God, I am not what I used to be." Each and every day we get a little closer, but we can change. We can become closer to that light. We can become closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us. Make sure you live up to what you have already attained. That's in verse 16. "Nevertheless, wherefore, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." You know, the only thing sadder than not moving forward in your Christian life is going backwards. And we're all at different places on our journey. You know, maybe you just became a believer. Maybe you've been a believer 50 years. Maybe you understand the Word of God differently than others. But each of us should be at our farthest point along in our walk with the Lord so far. Otherwise, we're moving backwards. Make sure you live up to what you have already attained. Don't lose ground in your walk with Christ. You know, the Christian life is a race. And there's only three reasons you're not in the race today. Maybe you never started. Maybe you didn't even know there was a race. You didn't know you could join. Maybe you stopped running. Or maybe you finished the race. If you're still here, then you haven't finished the race. It's not our choice to finish that race. If you're still alive, you haven't finished the race. But number one, if you have never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done on the cross of Calvary, that's the way you get into the race. That's the way you join. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." This is the good news for each and every one of us today. He says, "Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." We all are sinners. And it's not sitting here labeling what a sin is. Oh, you've done this. Oh, you've done that. That's not what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. And when you see the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect, holy, blameless Son live that perfect life, and when you begin to compare yourself to that, we are failures. We're sinners. We can't measure up. That's all sin is measuring. It's missing the mark of what the Lord Jesus Christ, that holy, perfect, blameless life. Once you know that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, sins were taken care of 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took your sins. He took my sins. He took sins of the world that won't even put their faith and trust in him. He hung on that cross for you and I. And the word faith just means I take God at his word. I believe what it says. I know it's true. I know that he went to the cross. Before the Apostle Paul was saved, he was out there killing everyone. But after he was blinded, after he saw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he changed his entire message. And that's one of many reasons of why the Word of God is true and why the Word of God is what it is. But if you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You don't have to walk forward. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to give to the church. You never have to come back to church again. You have eternal life from that day on. But then it moves on. You started the race. You're at the starting line. And you may walk at first. You may crawl at first. You may run at first. You may get excited about it. And on that journey, on that triathlon, there's going to be days that you crawl, that you run, that you swim, that you, whatever it is. But to join that race, you have to put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And secondly, maybe you started the race a long time ago. But somewhere along the way, you stopped running. You stumbled, you fell, maybe you got tired and decided to take a break. You quit going to church, you quit reading the word, you quit, you know, whatever it is. If you're sitting on the sidelines, it's time to get back in the race. And when you can begin to put your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and see what he has done for you, for me, we all need to run that race so we can see that prize. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a Savior to serve and a prize to be won. Run in such a way as to finish the race and win that prize. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Apostle Paul and his analogies of us running the Christian life. And in the life of the Apostle Paul, it looked like he was on a full-on sprint the entire time. But he had challenges, he had struggles. He's no different than me or I or us here. But we just pray that we are in that race, first of all. We pray that we have put our faith and trust in you. That the only way we can have eternal life is because of what your son did on the cross of Calvary. But we pray that we join the race, number one. But as we begin to join that race, that we'll begin to move quicker. We can start off with a crawl and a walk, but when we begin to run, we begin to share the gospel. We begin to tell others about you. We begin to focus on what the Word of God calls us to focus on. I just pray that each and every one of us will take it as a challenge and wake up each and every morning and say, hey, I'm going to share the gospel today. Today is the day that I'm going to tell somebody what your son did on the cross of Calvary. Whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through person to person, whether there's so many ways to connect today that we just pray that we will connect with them. We don't know how much time we have left here on this earth. And we just pray that we can share the gospel of the good Lord of Jesus Christ. And we pray in your precious son's name. Amen.